السلام عليك زين الأنبياء، السلام عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. One of the beautiful poems that we read a little bit earlier was a poem by Sheikh Muhammad ibn al-Habib, one of the great scholars and righteous folk of the western part of the Muslim world in Morocco. And in this poem, he is recounting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. كَمْ لَكَ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ عَلِيَّ. How many blessings you have upon me. Indicating that blessing after blessing, so many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered us with so many blessings upon us. And وَلَمْ تَزَلْ مُحْسِنٍ إِلَيَّ. And you still show me ihsan, you still show me this benevolence and this goodness. And I experience all of these favors that you give me day in and day out. And then to remind us that we had nothing to do with this. He reminds us from the very beginning, غَذَّيْتَنِي فِي الْحَشَى جَنِينَ. You have nourished me in the womb as an embryo. Did we choose to be created? Did we ask to be created? Did we have anything to do with how we were cared for when we were in the womb of our mothers? From the time that we were young, وَكُنْتَ لِي قَبْلَ وَالِدَيَّ. You were there for me even before my parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there for us even before our own parents. And this is something that we all know, but we were reading recently in book 39 of the Ihya Ulumuddin, Kitab al-Tafakkur, on the book of reflection, about how one of the great aspects of reflection, it's a component of it, and then there's other components that this leads to, is tadhakkur, reminding ourselves of certain meanings and allowing those meanings to settle deep within our being. And every time that we are reminded of those meanings and we allow them to settle and we allow them to impact our hearts, there is a deep secret in this insofar as it leads to the realization of whatever it is that we are remembering in that particular moment. In this case, we all know that Allah was there for us before our parents. But when you really think about that, that strengthens you. And that allows you to approach life and to approach the world of means in a very different way. And then he recognizes that خَلَقْتَنِي مُسْلِمًا وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفِ النَّبِيَّ. You created me as a Muslim. Even those of us who became Muslim, the reality is, it's all from Allah. Whether you were born Muslim or whether you became Muslim, all gifts, even though outwardly we define them as, you have certain gifts that are wahbi and you have certain gifts that are kesbi, certain gifts that are divinely given and other gifts that are quote-unquote acquired. But the reality is, even the gifts that are acquired, i.e. that you put a little bit of effort in to attain that gift, it's really from Allah Ta'ala. Because where did you get everything that you needed to even move outwardly to acquire that gift? It's from Allah Ta'ala. So the convert and the one who was born in Islam ultimately is the same. Ultimately, they're in the same position. So you created me as a Muslim, and were it not to be for your bounty, I would never have known the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would never have known the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you realize the shaqa and the ana and the terrible state that we would be in? Or we never have to have known Sayyidina Muhammad bin Abdullah? Ask people that entered into this deen about non-Muslim friends that they know from the past. Many of those Muslims who went to school with people who are not Muslim, where are they? What are they doing? What's their lives? What are their lives like? What kind of state is that to be in where you're chained by the constrictedness of kufr, of disbelief. Imagine never ever knowing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is scary. That is really scary. It's from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we know our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what then should we be doing? This is what he says next. Asjudu haqqan ala jabini. That I prostrate truly on my forehead. Asjudu haqqan ala jabini. We should be in a state of prostration. And when we stand up to pray, it shouldn't be a burden upon us. We shouldn't pray like chickens. Right? No. Prostrate. Even those young folks that have started to pray, you've reached the age of 7, you've reached the age of 10, even before you become legally responsible, do not pray like a chicken. Do not peck the ground with sujood. Train yourself from now to give prayer its haqq. And when you are in prostration, realize your utter humility before Allah. Glorify Allah and show gratitude to Allah that He gave you tawfiq to prostrate before Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a beautiful experience I had one time in the main masjid in Liverpool, England. And there was a very blessed scholar there who lived close to the masjid and used to go there and teach. And in this particular masjid, as is the case in so many of our masajid in the West, which it's only fairly recently common in the East, where now a lot of people pray on chairs. It wasn't really common in the East because actually you can't, at least in some schools, you can't sit on a chair if you can actually sit on the ground. If you can't, for some reason, prostrate, before you can sit on a chair, you have to sit on the ground. And he was bothered by the fact that so many people felt that with the slightest bit of difficulty, they started praying on chairs. And for him, he was troubled by the fact that people weren't prostrating. And he was just imagining how horrible that would be not to be able to prostrate. And then we went back to his house after, and he commented on this. And obviously he has mercy in the hearts if someone really can't sit because they have bad knees and they can't sit on the ground, so then you sit in a chair, then there's a dispensation. But if you cannot stand, you hunch over. If you cannot hunch over, then you sit on the ground and you still prostrate. And then if you can't do that, you move to what comes after it. But his whole point was, they're being prevented from sujood. This is a person of iman, of faith. We don't want anything ever to prevent us from sujood. And we should actually make that dua. There were people who loved prayer so much. One of them said, Oh Lord, you know how much I love prayer. If you permit anyone to pray in the barzakh after you die and you go to the intermediary realm, permit me to pray. He loved prayer so much, he even wanted to pray in the barzakh. And this is something Allah does grant people. Our Prophet ﷺ said, hadith in Sahih Muslim, he said that I passed by the grave of Moses on the night of the Layla to Isra and Mi'raj, and he was alive in his grave praying. He witnessed this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why? Because the pleasure that these folk experience from prayer, spiritual pleasure, is greater than any physical pleasure. It is much stronger and more powerful and more pure and more angelic and more celestial than any other type of pleasure. If you eat too much, you get indigestion, you don't want to eat anything else. That if you sleep too much, you have body aches and you feel weird. And the nature of the things of this world, anything in too much, you don't want to see that thing for a long time. Sometimes people eat so much of one type of food, they might, akramakum Allah, get sick, they don't touch that food for 10 years or whatever. Yani, that's the nature of this world. That's not how it is with spiritual pleasure. It takes a long time to receive it because you have to work hard. But then when you receive it, la ilaha illallah, nothing is more blessed than that. And we had an experience earlier where we went to a place to record something for someone. And subhanAllah, this place was not the very best of places. You could tell that it was a little bit dark. And that the different things that they had as decoration in the house, the state of the house, you could tell it wasn't a good place. And while we're there, we were constricted. In leaving, both of us felt the same thing, like something's wrong, that something's not right in that place. And so alhamdulillah, we did the ratib of Imam al-Haddad after that, and it helped. And then, subhanAllah, some of the traces still remain. When you're in a dark place, it affects you. It affects you. And then you come to the Mawlid, which is filled with light. And you sing the praises of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you start to realize how insignificant darkness is in front of light. You start to realize how when you're flooded with light, darkness doesn't remain. And your heart gets flushed out. But then it really made me think about that very blessed line. It's one of the most famous lines of poetry of Imam Abdullah bin Ali al-Haddad. نَحْنُ فِي رَوْحٍ وَرَاحَ وَحُبُورٍ وَاسْتِرَاحَ نِعْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَعْلَى نِعْمَةٍ حَلَّتْ بِالسَّاحَةِ. Is that these words are very closely related, even semantically, three of them. But نَحْنُ فِي رَوْحٍ وَرَاحَ. We are in a state of ease and repose and joy and calmness and relaxation. The blessing of Islam is the very greatest blessing of all that can be received. And if you look at the root meaning of this word raha, raha as a verb, it can mean both a violent wind and a gentle wind. And some of them point to the different meanings between riyah and rih. And rih usually having the more connotation of being a violent wind. And the linguists speak about these nuances. But even so, the word ruh and raha are both related to each other, and also istiraha. But one of the meanings that we can take there is, in relation to the winds of tribulation of this world, everyone's going to sail through the dunya. But for some people, it will that they won't be in a good state when they do so, and for others they'll be raised. Some people are lowered and some people are raised. Allah is a Rafa and He's the Khafid. And He's the Nafa and He's the Dar. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And two people could go through the same exact situation. One person, it lifts them. The other person, that, it lowers them. Nasallahu ta'ala as-salama wal-afiyah. But if you really think about that, in reality, from the blessing of faith, in the light of faith, do we even realize what we have? We are in ruh and in raha. And we are in a state of habur wa istiraha. What do we not have as believers? And as we exited and we started talking about the darkness of that place, we quickly were reminded, like, no, don't talk about it anymore. Just make dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. And this is important because there's no doubt there's darkness in the world. There's no doubt there's darkness in certain people. There's no doubt when you go to certain places, there's darkness. Because when evil has been done in a place, it's a place where there's a lot of shayateen. And there's a reality to the unseen. And you have to protect yourself when you go into those places. But you're reminded of the blessing of Allah Ta'ala upon you when you go into another sacred space that is filled with light and is filled with blessing, and how easy it is to dispel that darkness. But we have to be careful. Yes, we should critique darkness. Yes, we need to be aware of the time in which we live. But only to the extent that we need to avoid that evil, but we should be focusing on the light. And sometimes we get dragged into that, where we complain too much, where if you talk too much about evil, when was the last time when you really started talking about the end of the time and all of the terrible things that are happening in the world and all of the darkness and all of the evil that's there? When was the last time that you left feeling good about that? You don't leave feeling good when that happens. Yes, you can talk about it to assess it, to understand it, so that you can avoid it. But after that, best leave it and focus on the light. Do what it is that you can do to draw near to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. and do acts of goodness, send salawat, make dua, pray, all of these different beautiful forms of worship that we have, that will fill the heart with light. And that will dispel all of that darkness. And this is ultimately what we want, because the reality of our faith is a light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our heart. And the greatest way to strengthen that light is to do what pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to recite His book, to recite the blessed words of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then to recite the blessed words of the inheritors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who put the Quran and the Sunnah into practice. And therefore, what it is that they said and what it is that they were inspired to say has a very strong impact on our hearts because of the light that is embedded in those blessed words. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala fill our hearts with light and bless us to be able to travel upon the straight path. And may Allah ta'ala make us strong and protect us from being negatively impacted by what is happening around us. And bless us to be means for other people to experience the light of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. May our faith grow strong, and by means of us, may people experience the realities and the blessings and the ruh and the raha and the habul and the istiraha of the ni'mat al-Islam. Fi khayrun wa fa'afiyah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.